It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is the Banks of the Raritan podcast, presented by the Fans First Sports Network.
Banks of the Raritan podcast here in the Fans First Sports Network, back again for what could be one of the more interesting podcasts we do this season with the game coming up on Saturday. Back after a short hiatus following the Wagner game, not really a ton to say following that one, but we'll touch on some points of it before hopping into Wisconsin. And of course, we're going to end with our best bets for the week six slate, week six already, which is crazy. So I guess we'll just hop right into it. We have another weekend of football, another game for Rutgers, and one that many fans are starting to talk themselves into winning. Matt, how are we feeling today?
Certainly feeling motivated. You know, you see that clip from Luke Fickell, and I really don't think, to be honest, he meant it in a way
I think it was taken out of context.
It was meant to be disparaging towards Rutgers, but that doesn't matter. Now it's bulletin board material. It's out there in the ether. People are seeing it. I doubt the team, I'm sure the team's seeing it, but this is stuff that the fans kind of go and run with. I actually just posted something on Twitter. If you want to follow me at AO Paisan, it's a silly name, but I was just trying to get more insight on Wisconsin, and these two guys were talking, and they were saying that Gavin Wimsatt's going to be the worst quarterback the team has faced so far this season. And these are Wisconsin people. They weren't being jerks. They were just speaking how they felt. So don't attack them. However, they said he was a fourth-year player, a senior, no design quarterback run. So they looked at box scores. They didn't actually watch him play. He's not the worst quarterback they faced. There are design runs by Rutgers. So certainly I'm feeling motivated by stupid stuff I'm seeing on social media, but this should be a fun one. I think Wisconsin's a team. When you think of the teams that Rutgers has struggled against, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, of course, Wisconsin's right up there. And I mean, since we've joined the Big Ten, outside of the game last time in Madison, I felt like we got beat bad, but I think we covered. Regardless, this is a team that has a formula in past times that just dominates Rutgers on both sides of the ball. And I think the reason fans are kind of excited for this one is their formula is different. A lot of things are different in Madison right now, especially from their coaching. They have a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. Some injuries on offense. So there's a lot of, I feel like, justified reasons for people really looking forward to this game. It's a shame it's not in Piscataway, but I've been to Madison. I was thinking about going, but should be a really fun game.
Yeah, 20 points in just four games since joining the Big Ten against Wisconsin. And you mentioned the style of play, and I agree it's a little different this year. I think what really killed Rutgers in the past is just the overall toughness of these Wisconsin teams. They pound the football. They're tough defensively. You know, they're strong, they're big, they're physical. All of those things that Rutgers might not have been in the past, and just completely got dominated by him. Obviously, the game in 2021, 52-3. I mean, if that happens, if that happens again, obviously something's wrong. I don't see it being that lopsided, but I'm not someone who's yet talked myself into winning this game. Maybe tomorrow morning once we gear up. I do like that it's a noon kick, but maybe once we gear up tomorrow morning, I could get myself there. But the fact that this game's being played in Madison, I don't love, and I still think this Wisconsin team is down. They're not at their full potential yet, but they're hitting their stride. I believe they're coming off a bye. And a blowout win over Purdue. So I think this is a team that's going to start hitting their stride at this point of the season. You know, I would have liked this game maybe the first couple weeks, you know, get Wisconsin early with a new quarterback, new scheme, new head coach. But they're getting a little time coming off a bye week. I'm not sure if this is the best spot for Rutgers. And we can go into more detail of breaking down positions and what we think is going to happen as well. Also, to touch on the Luke Fickell thing, I definitely throw it on the bulletin board if you're Rutgers. I think it was taken out of context. It wasn't a long clip, obviously, just, you know, a 5-second thing of what he was saying, something about being bored studying Rutgers or whatever. So, like I said, I think it was taken out of context, but hey, whatever motivation this team needs to get up for tomorrow, I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, and to be completely honest, if they were watching tape against Wagner, I would have been bored too. Right. That was a pretty boring game. Rutgers obviously handled business, covered the spread more importantly. I just wanted to touch on Wagner because, yes, Purdue's coming off of a bye. And, yeah, Rutgers did play. I don't know how much they game planned for Wagner. And the reason I say that is offensively, people were expecting to see a little bit more. And I feel like we saw absolutely less than what we would have expected throughout all of the game. I felt like this was the most vanilla. It was just not a very exciting game, and that's fine. And the reason I'm okay with that, even though I was disappointed and hoping for more, I didn't realize Wisconsin had a bye. Like last week, I didn't realize that Wisconsin was on a bye. So in a sense, you know, Rutgers played a bad team. There's no question about that. They're not rusty, which is good. They're feeling themselves. Everybody played pretty well. And Wisconsin is coming off of a bye. So, yeah, they're rested. They may be more healthy, but I don't think Rutgers is dealing with any major injuries that are going to create any concerns. So, in a sense, I'm almost kind of happy Rutgers didn't have a bye because this was the closest thing you could have to a bye. And you got to actually play on the field. But we didn't see anything more. What Wisconsin doesn't do well is really defend the pass. And we just didn't. Gavin passed the ball. He hit a good, great throw to Jaquay Jackson. But outside of that, it was just. I think fans wanted to see more, and I think looking back, it makes sense that we didn't, because now hopefully if we do open up anything, it'll be more of a surprise to Wisconsin on Saturday. Now, you have to imagine, if I'm thinking this, so is Luke Fickell out in Madison, so probably not a big brain move by Rutgers there, but I think it's possible because we saw more against Michigan than we did against Wagner and everybody else. So I think we're also going to see more against Wisconsin as well. Offensively, defensively, I thought they played outstanding. If it wasn't for that long kick return that Wisconsin had, I don't think they score a point. So obviously the defense is great, but you know, Wisconsin's always has a good offensive line, which is going to be tough, but probably not as good as Michigan's right now. It's kind of how I'm comparing this game, you know, how Rutgers played against Michigan versus how they'll play against Madison. So against Wisconsin. So I think it's good that Rutgers didn't have a bye week. I think it's going to come at a better time for them, but it's never great catching a team on homecoming after a bye. And Luke Fickell is definitely not a bad head coach. So should be a fun one to watch. But I think we're going to need to see more from the offense than we did against Wagner, of course.
Yeah, I was on the side of disappointed, kind of like you said. You know, you like seeing a lopsided score. That's fun for Rutgers fans. But I needed to see this offense open up a bit and show something. And again, I wasn't going to get overly excited if they did open it up and, you know, dominate. But because, again, it's Wagner, you know, it was hard to get excited either way. But the fact that they didn't show anything still kind of made me scratch my head because this was the time to do it, you know. And if you're box score watching, you know, like your boys over at Wisconsin, whoever you were listening to, you look at a game that was dominated, obviously, by Rutgers in yardage. I mean, Wagner had 106 yards. They had 23 yards passing, 6 first downs. Like, Rutgers won the time of possession battle by 15 minutes. This game was dominated by Rutgers, obviously. But that was to be expected. We wanted that coming in. We knew it was going to happen coming in. You know, Lee needed a late score there to cover the spread as well. But we knew that was going to happen. We wanted to see Gavin Wimsett throw the ball. And he comes in, you know, they throw him 19 times. and the run of the ball with Kyle Manunga, we know he could run the ball. So again, I wasn't taken back by this game. I was a little disappointed, but it's just an easy one you kind of throw in the rear view. You know, it's like a bye on the field. You almost take it as like a 7-on-7 scrimmage. You know, you get geared up for the Big Ten schedule. And I think that's what Rutgers did. It's a good spot for both teams, in my opinion. It's a good spot for Rutgers coming off a game against Wagner going into Big Ten play for the reasons I just said. But it's also a really good spot for Wisconsin being able to stay home after a bye, homecoming, really a chance for, you know, schedule Rutgers and homecoming. I'm not sure if that was a coincidence or not. But so obviously they might be feeling themselves a bit coming into this game. But I think it's a good spot for both teams. So it'll be interesting to see who kind of takes control early.
Yeah. One thing I did want to note about Wagner and something I've been begging to see, something on special teams, and it was great to see Rashad Rochelle. I think he was 5 yards from scoring a touchdown. He ran pretty much from corner of one end zone to the other. So it was awesome to finally see this. I think that was literally the first kickoff return of the season. I could be wrong, but we haven't had many, and I'm pretty sure that was the first one. So that was awesome to see. It would have been great to see him score, but it was also disappointing on the opposing side, on our kickoff team, to allow such a long return that ultimately resulted in, 3 points, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's funny to think that everybody feels like this Rutgers team is definitely better than last year's, yet we scored 11 more points last year, and there was more passing. Maybe Wagner was worse, but that was one thing. But I just think Rutgers didn't do much. I don't think they were like, hey, we're just going to come out here. They were going for it on fourth down. They were keeping the offense on the field. It was a slow first quarter. I think that's really where the kind of things got derailed. I think if it was maybe 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, we see a couple shots by Gavin, and then a Johnny Shepherd comes in and he takes care of the offense. And speaking of him, he had one or two series. I think he completed both passes. He looked good. He looked good for what he was playing against. Like, he didn't look like a bad quarterback. So I don't know how much we're going to ever get to see him. I hope there's opportunity this season, maybe some blowout wins. There aren't many left on the schedule, but I was excited to see him play, and it would have been great to see some more. But again, the defense is the bedrock of the team. I felt like we could have had more breakaway runs, but everything was in Rutgers' favor that game. I'm glad I didn't go to that one because it just wouldn't have been fun to watch.
Yeah, that was a good one to keep on TV. And you know, Johnny Shepherd, again, he impressed people, and he did that during the spring, too. He did it during training camp. Really, all levels, he's been impressive. But, yeah, the only concern with how the transfer portal is today, and Gavin still has, I believe, 2 more years after this of eligibility. So it'll be interesting to see if Shepherd hangs out and you know, waits his turn, or if he wants to, or if he gets a start at maybe even a smaller school just, you know, to get on the field. I think the next wave of quarterbacks will be a good recruiting class, will be a good for the quarterback. You know, the kid coming from Notre Dame out in New Jersey, having to sit a year or two behind Wimsett, that's a good time right there. So Shepherd might have just come at the wrong time, but he's impressive. You know, he's a tough kid, he's athletic. So if he's ever on the field, it's definitely not going to be a bad thing for Rutgers. Going into Wisconsin, I'm still nervous about this offense, and I'll say that's my big concern and why I haven't talked myself into this win yet. You know, I think they're going to be able to compete because they, you know, the defense, but I haven't talked myself into it because of the offense. I haven't seen much. I haven't seen enough. You know, again, you hit the big play against Michigan and you feel good, and then you just stall and it kind of stop. You know, those first 3 throws against Michigan, I felt like they weren't thrown ever again throughout the game. Like, that was all Rutgers had. You know, it just stalled from there. And I'm not sure if they'll be able to get that momentum against a Wisconsin team. You know, we'll get into the Wisconsin's offense and the new quarterback, but for me, the big concern is Rutgers' offense against that defense. Can they put together drives? Can they sustain drives and score points to stay in this game?
Yeah, I think a concern of being able to establish the pass is totally fair. I still feel like Gavin played very well in through the air against Michigan, toughest team arguably we're going to play all year. This game against Wagner didn't make you feel any better because it didn't move. It didn't get worse, didn't get better, but you would have liked to have came in with a little bit more optimism. So I understand where that's coming from. Luckily, Wisconsin's the worst passing defense, at least right now, in the Big Ten. They've played, they opened up against Purdue at home. They lost to Washington State. They lost, or they beat, and then they beat Georgia Southern, and then lost to, or beat Purdue on the road. All of those teams had success throwing through the air, specifically Washington State and Georgia Southern. Now, when I think Washington State, I'm sure we think the same. We think Mike Leach. We think Gardner Minshew. These guys just airing it out 500 yards a game. I don't know what the passing yards were that, but they won through the air. And more importantly, they stopped Wisconsin running the ball. So two things that one thing that Rutgers can do, they can limit teams on the ground. And this is, I don't know if this is the worst. I would imagine Wagner's is worse. Probably if they get success through the air, we know they can run the ball. They have a, I don't want to say they can run the ball because there's plenty of times when you're watching them and they get a minus one or a 1 yard gain, but they run the ball efficiently when they need to. They can do that against this defense, which just, I think Wisconsin, incredible front seven and really good safeties. It just doesn't seem like they have those guys right now. They still have talent, obviously. I'm not going to say they're bad, but they do allow teams to pass through the air. And a lot of it's downfield. It's not like they're getting like these 15-yard catches, 10-yard catches. There are a lot of receivers running down the field and making big catches. Maybe that's what we've had. We've seen Jaquay Jackson be able to do that. I feel like they ran the same play that they did against Temple and against Wagner and had success. I think that we're going to see that, where we're going to have to see stuff like that. But we're also going to need to be able to run the ball, because if we become one-dimensional, I don't like that for Rutgers. But again, this is a defense that has allowed plenty of yards through the air. On the other hand, Rutgers defense is going to need to step up and defend. And I think Braylon Allen is going to be the most bruising back they're going to face throughout the entire conference. But they're also down their second running back, Ches Malusi, who I found was more dynamic as a running back for this team through the air.
Yeah, that's
just
a big loss.
A little bit more shifty. Yeah, Braylon Allen is just, I think, Derrick Henry type, where he's going to run that. He's young. He's like 19 years old. He looks like a grown man. He looks like an NFL running back playing college football. If Rutgers is able to limit him. But one thing that worries me the most about the Badgers is their quarterback, Tanner Mordecai, not because of his arm, but because of his legs. What he's done recently has he had two touchdowns against Purdue. Really, like, one was a design run, one was a broken down pass play. And it just worried me because of the way that J.J. McCarthy was able to get first downs with his legs for Michigan. And Tanner Mordecai is just like a bigger running back or a bigger quarterback. I don't know if he's definitely not a better quarterback, but that's something that worries me. So we're going to need to be able to contain him and limit Braylon Allen, and I'm confident with the defense. I don't think this is going to be that game that we've historically played against Wisconsin, and I also don't think that they think that as well. I think it's going to be a lot closer. I think it's going to be right around where the spread is. Either Rutgers is going to win, or they're going to be within the spread. They might not cover, but it's going to be around that double-digit loss, or somehow they win. So it should be a fun one, but I do think that there are some metrics here that could side in Rutgers' favor. On the other hand, where I don't think Wisconsin benefits from that.
Yeah, it's going to be a closer game, I think, and Rutgers will do it defensively. Now, if you want to talk upset, it's going to be, like I said, can they score the ball? Can they put those points on the board? And it'll come down to play calling again, because Wisconsin has struggled in the passing game. Their secondary's been a little weak, but they've taken the ball away seven times in the past two games. And, of course, you know, five coming in that Georgia Southern game, five interceptions the quarterback threw. I don't know what – obviously, I didn't watch that game. I don't know what was happening with that offense that game.
The interceptions were really bad. It wasn't I watched those highlights. It was silly. It was really, really silly. They were five really bad interceptions. So, like, don't be like, oh, this is that historic Wisconsin defense. It wasn't like that. They were bad interceptions.
Exactly. I'm saying that, you know, seven times in the past two games regardless, and I'm stuck in the history, so it's going back to what Rutgers has done against this team and what Wisconsin has been. They're not that team, and it's hard. You might not even feel that way until you see them on the field against Rutgers. You know, it's hard to get those images out of your head. Kirk Cerak, again, is going to be big in this game. He hasn't opened it up yet. And I don't expect him to do it. And I don't expect him to do it in this game specifically, because you can't put Gavin in a position to make mistakes on the road. He's been keeping it very safe with his, you know, first year full-time starter. He's been keeping it smart. They haven't turned the ball over much. They're running the ball really well. I think that's got to be the same game plan. I think the passing plays are going to be there for Gavin to make, but I'm not sure how many chances he'll get. Regardless, if they can establish a run game and take care of the football, I'm not saying they'll win this game, but that's the formula you're going to need to stay in it. Because again, this defense hasn't shown any reason for us to believe that they won't compete and, you know, make things difficult for Wisconsin.
Yeah, maybe this is more for the end, but this is just a really important game for Rutgers. And again, I do think that Everyone who is an outside Rutgers person says this is a Greg Schiano football team, and it is. It really is. I do think we are going to need to, like, I hate how many times did Rutgers start a game where they run the ball and they start behind the line of scrimmage. Like and Wagner was able to do that. And I don't know if it's because they're running like trap plays where you're allowing defensive tackles to kind of run up and get in that dead zone where they get stuck and then the running back just runs right past them. I don't know if that's like the play design, because the offensive line does well running blocking and then they do really bad. And I feel like it's never just like a meet me in the middle and just play good for the entire game. Pass protection, they're playing great. I hated that they allowed a sack. I think it was third down. It might have been second down against Wagner, because they only have, I think that was the second or third sack all season. Like, I hate that, made me disappointed. Outside of that, I don't blame the offensive line like that. I think that was more on Gavin just holding on to the ball too long, because the offensive line plays so well in the pass protection. And I think they're going to have success in this one too. But they need to find more consistency run blocking. If they find more consistency run blocking, and maybe they also need to stop relying on Kyle Manungai as much, and I think we're going to need to see more Sam Brown. I don't know if you saw the news, but Alshadi Salam was converted to cornerback, which, again, I'm not thrilled about, because I liked him as a running back. But
good that move, frees though. Up I think it was. I think the room was a little too deep.
Exactly. We needed to see these, especially I think Aaron Young needs to play more. I think he's extremely underrated. Get him on the field, find the way to get him the ball. He's a lot quicker than I remember. And I don't know if that's because he's, you know, fresh, his body isn't, even though he's coming off of injury, but I think Rutgers needs to get him the ball. I love Kyle Manungai, but it's, you know, he was the hot hand early on, but I do think we're going to need to start to rely on some other running backs, because he's done great, and I can't say negative things about him, and I know I'm falling into this trap, but against a team like Wisconsin, I think we're going to need to rely on the bigger body guys that can just fall forward and pick up 2 yards. Because if Kyle Manungai gets hit, even though he breaks tackles, that's not true, but I just need to see some other running backs in the mix a lot more earlier in the game, I think. I think that's where I'm going with it.
I agree. It's not a fact of, you know, people listening might be like, oh, you know, we've been praising Kyle Manungai, and, you know, now we're calling for other running backs. It's not the case at all. Kyle Manungai, I'm okay with him being the bell cow, but when your running back room is as deep as it is, you want to see other guys touch the football, especially guys that we know have talent. You know, the move for Salam, I think it was smart. You know, he seemed to be that fourth guy on the depth chart, and, you know, he keeps losing his job, unfortunately for him, to freshmen. Last year, you look at Sam Brown, and, you know, even this year coming in, he lost his spot on the depth chart, it felt like, to Jayshon Benjamin. So moving him, he's just an athletic guy. He's got crazy speed. You know, if he could turn into a corner, I wouldn't mind seeing him out there in that secondary. But I completely agree. When you look at this offense, they have depth in that running back room, but they have versatility as well. You have a bruiser in Sam Brown. You have a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield in Aaron Young. You got to use them a little more. Unless they're not, you know, even if they're not 100% healthy, get them on the field. Unless they're still really, really banged up, you're nervous of them aggravating something else, hold them out as much as you can. But they've both played. They've both been there. You got to see more. I mean, when you look at the team stats this year, you know, Manungai's got 88 carries. The next closest running back on this team is Benjamin, has 36, and, you know, he obviously had 7 or 8 on Saturday to inflate those scores a bit. You know, Gavin Wimps has the second leading rusher on this team, but you got to get these guys involved. Young and Brown have 20 carries combined this season, so I completely agree with that point, and it's nothing against Kyle Manungai for anybody thinking that we're saying to, you know, give somebody else the starting job or not, because he's still averaging 5.5 yards a carry. But at some point, you got to change up the game plan, and you got to get other guys involved.
Yeah, and going shifting to the receivers, I guess it was that final drive, but I didn't realize how many. No, it couldn't have been, because he only completed 2 passes. But there were a lot of receivers. You know, we talked about like wanting to see more, and there was more from the wide receiver room. I think we saw possibly Sean Bowman's first catch. He's getting more involved. I've been seeing him on the field a lot more. And then a lot of the receivers, Jesse Ofuri, Dylan Brightwaite, and Famai Torre, they all got a catch, which I'm very excited about, because we need some guys in the wide receiver room to step up. Not that I think anybody's playing bad, but we're going to need it for the future more so.
Oh, yeah. Famai Torre, I covered him specifically in high school.
Crazy that the receivers that are the youngest are the biggest. They're the biggest receivers on the team, and they're the youngest as well.
Yeah, I covered him in high school at Irvington, and he was just a freak. Obviously a true freshman this year, but 6'4", 210. He's somebody who popped when you watched him on a high school field, so he's going to be a good one for Rutgers.
Is Irvington typically running for like the state champs? Because they produce some really great players. What, yeah, didn't Josh Allen go to Irvington?
Yeah, they're a top 10 team every year, it feels like. They've got a really good program over there, and they know their identity too. And their coach is a great guy, so that program's in really good hands.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm always about when the public schools show out, because I all the resources are, you know, the North Jersey parochial schools have all the resources in the world and the history. So it's nice to see. I love when the public – I always thought about it this way, not to – you know, I digress for a second. You have the parochial schools up north, and then you have, like, the public schools down south. And in Central Jersey right now, it's kind of just – it's been – I mean, you have A.J. Sriracha playing great, but – South Jersey, I feel like the public schools are great, and then obviously North Jersey, you have the private schools, and you get some great talent from all of them. And if only Rutgers can find a way to hold on to all of them, the team would be really, really good. You watch all of the good teams on Saturday, and there's always a Jersey guy on that roster. It's crazy. Maybe not so much on the West Coast, but on the Big Ten, SEC, there's Jersey guys everywhere, man.
It's been like that for years too, and that's why we've been saying you got to keep this talent home, and Greg Schiano's doing his best to do that. But yeah, Irvington, good program. They're down a bit this year, if I have my facts correct, but they lost a ton. You know, Teray at the top of that list. But they're there every year. They're competitive. Like I said, the coach is really good, so they'll be back. And I agree. Seeing those public schools, seeing teams like that makes you happy, keeps the high school football in Jersey up, because it's not the, you know, it's not the premier sport in Jersey. Basketball's king in New Jersey. It's probably the best. Oh, yeah. It's the best state in the country for high school basketball, and it's been that way for years. But that's a story for another day.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you mentioned the receivers. We need someone to step up there as well. And I'm waiting for Jaquay Jackson. We saw him make the highlight play against Wagner, obviously. The guy's got so much talent, and he is a number one receiver in the Big Ten. I think they just have to get him the football, draw plays, and get him the football. Sometimes it's just as easy as getting the ball in the hands of your best players. And I think Jaquay Jackson is the best receiver that Rutgers has, and they just simply have to get him the ball a little more.
He reminds me of a much more, and I loved Janarian Grant. I really think that if he was on a team with the right offensive coordinator, would have flourished. Like, where I'm talking 2,000 yards or 2,000 yards of just like offense. He reminds me of him, but like more fine tuned as a wide receiver, like less reliant on natural ability and also just able to make great catches, run good routes. I would like to see him. I don't know. Let's see him run a slant route. That's all we're asking for. It's literally all Rutgers fans are asking for is like quick slants and outs. And that's like, just get these guys the ball in space and see what happens. We saw success. Now, I do think it was a great throw that easily could have went for 60 the other way against Michigan that ended up for a touchdown for Rutgers. But that shouldn't have been a touchdown like that, especially Christian Dremel, even though he's a lot faster than I thought. So we're gonna see. I think this is the perfect game where the receivers should have the ability to get open, and hopefully Gavin can get them the ball. And I think Gavin has done a really good job in getting the ball to a number of guys. Every single game he completes passes to more than like four or five wide receivers, and even got to the tight end here. So the things I didn't want to see before the season, not having Johnny Langan be the leading receiver, that certainly is happening. But now I want to find out who the leading receiver is going to be. And it's just based off of the big plays. It's either Dremel or Jaquay Jackson. It goes back and forth. It's one or the other each game. And of course, this game, they both had four catches. Again, that's not a bad thing. It's like, but we just need that clear separation. We need that clear separation to know who the guy is, maybe on third down or in a crucial passing situation. So we'll see that. And just kind of to move it to the defense as well, I know that we talk a lot about Aaron Lewis. We talk a lot about all these guys. But Muhammad Teray might be the best guy on the field. He really might be. He's awesome. He had this tackle where he just met the running back right in the hole. And I just would have quit football if I was the running back. Like, he's just a grown man, looks healthy, clearly is healthy, and is just good. He's tackling, gets after the quarterback. He's just a force. And I think on social media he goes by the Menace. He truly is a menace on the field.
Yeah, he was such a big loss last year. And that was, you know, it hit in many positions, in many aspects when he was off that field. On the field, leadership, locker room, all that stuff. But he is. You know, Aaron Lewis gets the hype, and he's as good as advertised. But as an edge rusher, that's what you get. You know, it's a position that's taken over football really at all levels. And, you know, Lewis has the chance to be one of the better ones in the Big Ten. But these linebackers for Rutgers, you know, Muhammad Teray, Tareem Powell, all these guys they're playing at a really, really high level. And that's going to be an interesting matchup too, because Wisconsin likes to run the ball. And you look at Braylon Allen and what he can do can Rutgers plug these holes on this big physical Wisconsin offensive line? To me, the answer is yes. We haven't seen anything but to say yes so far from this team, and that's exciting. I've been kind of waiting for this team to have this type of defense. You know, you could see it building over the past couple of years, but they haven't been at playing at this level. Even in that Michigan game, like, really nothing you could say bad about that defense. All right, they gave up 31 points, but they made things difficult. They were physical. They were tough. Like, maybe there's going to be a couple games they don't match up well. You know, I don't love the Ohio State matchup with the secondary against the receivers out there, but there's going to be games where they match up really, really well, and I think this could be one of them. You know, you mentioned Tanner Mordecai's legs. If they slow down his legs, I think this could be a good matchup for Rutgers.
Yeah, and again, he's not like you. I honestly, coming out of I think he came from SMU. Like, he was somebody that I was just like, oh, he's a gunslinger. Like, he's like a pocket passer. Like, he was just not. Not that he hasn't done well passing the ball, but he's just impressed me with his legs. He's a good runner. I think, though, that I mentioned this about JJ McCarthy. Like, sometimes he could be a little bit sporadic with his passes. I do think, though, if he has the ability to play a sloppy game, and then obviously bodes well for Rutgers. This is, again, going to come down to the turnover battle. If Rutgers doesn't throw that fourth down interception against Michigan, the game is completely different. I'm sure Rutgers still loses, but what at that point it was a 10-point game, I think. I think it was 17-7. They go down the field and score a touchdown, 3-point game. It could be the same situation against Wisconsin. You know, we're a 13-point underdog. It could be a 10-point game. Rutgers turns the ball over, and it's done. That could easily happen, but Wisconsin turns over the ball and Rutgers turns that into points. It's going to come down to the turnover battle. It typically does. And Rutgers is going to need to find ways to control the ball as well. They've done well when they've controlled the clock. They need to find ways to continue to do that. We know the recipe. We talk about it ad nauseum. Hopefully we can continue to do that. But again, I'm confident with the defense. I'm hoping that they don't get beat deep and they contain Tanner Mordecai, but again, the defense is solid. I think that for sure. Remember last year they started the year like in the top half, and then they fell off because their offense wasn't on the field ever. I don't think that's the case this year. I think the defense is capable of remaining in that top half, maybe top third, I guess we can call it, or top quarter, and hopefully that, you know, we can find a way to squeeze out a win. Just, I know that we don't want to get ahead of it, but if somehow, some way, Rutgers goes into a game against Michigan State at home on homecoming, 5-1, with a chance to be bowl eligible by week 7. Just insane. Just an insane thought. And then you play Indiana, and it's just crazy. Like, I know that it sounds crazy. I know that it's like hopeful optimism, but I do think it's possible. I do think it's definitely possible for all of that to happen. I'm hoping it does, but obviously, it's going to have to – a lot will have to go Rutgers' way for all of that to happen. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, this isn't a game that that fans are going to be – they're disappointed with every loss, obviously. That's just how football is. That's how fans are. But this isn't one at the end of the day that ends your season. We're going to have two of those coming up in the next couple of weeks. The Indiana game, the Michigan game. I talked about before the season, if Rutgers beats both of those teams, wins their swing games against – Virginia Tech and Michigan State obviously take care of business against Northwestern. They could be 6-2 with a bowl spot going into their bye on October 21st. That was hard to fathom in my brain. You know, when you look at if they possibly steal this game and then beat Indiana, and you're looking at a week earlier, I mean, that's just, it doesn't compute when you think about Rutgers football. It's not something that I don't know if Rutgers is ready to do it, but this game will go a long way in saying so. I still think the Indiana game and the Michigan State game are the ones that are going to decide this season. They have to win both of those, because if they don't, they have those four games at the end of the year that are going to be difficult. And again, story for another day, but I know fans are talking themselves into winning that Iowa game too. So there's definitely some interesting games on this schedule, and it starts this week against Wisconsin, because I'm curious to see how this matchup goes.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be – I think the worst part about this game is it's on Peacock. It's just frustrating because I don't know how many people are tuning in, but it is what it is. Let's get this game out of the way. However, I did watch a couple games on Peacock, and the broadcast typically isn't bad. Like, it will look good, so I'm happy about that. Like, it's NBC, so, like, the – I don't know – the The way it looks, literally the way it looks, it's good to the eye. It almost looks like a Sunday night football game. So I'm happy about that. But I was planning on going to New Brunswick to watch it. But like, you have to be like, well, you know, I can't expect everybody to just adjust to this, these new streaming platforms and be able to have the game. Like, it's like, I'd love to go to this place, but they might not have the game on because it's on Peacock. Like, I can't fault them for that. So I guess I'm yelling at a cloud. I'm an old man yelling at a cloud right now, but let's get this game out of the way. But on the topic of that, if you are listening to this, specifically if you're a basketball fan, you're definitely going to want to get Peacock because I think Rutgers plays three big matchups against teams on Peacock. So something you're going to need, or find a place to go, or find a friend's login. So prepare for that, because you know, don't try to turn on the game come noon and start yelling on Twitter that you don't know where the game is. It's on Peacock. You're going to need to get Peacock. If you don't know what it is, Google's your friend.
Yeah, listen, if you love it, if you hate it, you just got to accept it at this point. It's all money. We've seen it in the NFL. These Thursday night games are on Amazon Prime. The basketball games are moving. You know, all of these different platforms that people have now, that these companies have nowadays. So we don't have to love it, but we got to accept it and we got to adjust to it. You know, Peacock, definitely not my favorite way for this game to be broadcasted. But again, you got to live with what you have and you have to adjust to it. That's what these people want. And that's, you know, you got to respect it too. It's a business. They know they have us and they know they can do it, because at the end of the day, fans aren't going to stop watching. They're not going to stop tuning in to watch their team or watch football in general. So they know they can do it. They know they can charge, and they're going to do it. Listen, I respect it. To me, it's a business. If I was in that position, I would do the same thing.
And guess what? I'll be watching. So.
Absolutely. That's the exact point. People are going to be watching. Before we get to our best bets and picks of the week for the week 6 slate around college football, we're going to take a short break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Switching gears to our best bets here, we mentioned Rutgers is around a 2-touchdown underdog for this game in Wisconsin. And of course, that'll be a game that we have to pick. We force ourselves to pick, no matter how ugly the number may be. We got to take something. And we'll start off by recapping last week. I tell you what,
we don't have to do that.
I had another good week, and I'm happy for it. I'm 19-8 on the season. You know, 4-0-1 in the Rutgers games. An absolute steal in that Rutgers game for both of us. They scored late, I think, to cover that spread.
It was a massive number.
So, but hey, we don't apologize for wins here. So the Rutgers was a win. I had the Kansas-Texas over 61.5. That was a loss. I didn't know until late that Jalen Daniels wasn't playing in that game. I don't know if it would have made a difference, but he wasn't there. Bama came out, killed Mississippi State. James Madison also killed them. And my other big winner, Purdue. I took the Purdue money line. I said it was a good spot for Purdue coming off their game against Wisconsin with Illinois coming in. They absolutely laid the wood to Illinois, and that's what I expected. And I took my chance on the under in Iowa-Michigan State, 36.5. You know, I like those numbers in the 30s. That was my other loser. But 4-2 on the week, 19-8, 4-0-1 in the Rutgers game. So through 5 weeks, I'm having a good year, so we're looking to continue it.
I don't think I got a win. I'm pretty sure. So I got Rutgers, I guess.
The Rutgers won.
It was just not. I didn't feel confident in any of my picks. I was disappointed, and I made picks that I don't like. I was just looking for value, and it was one of those where I had some team total unders, and those can just die so quickly. And then it's just like, all right, well, that was just a bad bet. And that's exactly what happened. But yeah, Rutgers covered, so I'm happy about that. But this week, I'm being surgical. I got this.
We could handle a bounce back week, and I'm hoping I stay hot. And it starts on Friday night. Two, just in my opinion, ugly games, and ones with strange lines. You look at Oklahoma State getting 11.5 at home. I think that's when's the last time we've seen that? Like, that's something that's hard to even analyze and talk about, because it's not what we're used to, and it's not a game that I will be personally taking, but it's one that I'll be watching because there's only two games on. But I don't know if I'm ready to lay 11.5, you know, with Kansas State on the road. So I would go into that game hesitantly. I do like the over if I had to pick a side.
I was gonna say it seems like a game where maybe you just hope for the over, because the thing though is Oklahoma State, I think, just doesn't have a quarterback, so maybe that isn't the play. And it's one of those games, Oklahoma State, Stillwater, Oklahoma. It is like the darkest home game. You look up in the sky and it's just dark. You're in the middle of nowhere. But Kansas State has just been a team that is a force in the Big 12. Like, you have to respect Kansas State. So easy to just be like, oh, Kansas State, they're not good. They won the Big 12 last year. They're a good team. Oklahoma State, though, couldn't be trending more downward as a team that was just always a staple in the Big 12. Who knows if this is the last year for Mike Gundy, but it just thinks that it's a double-digit spread, because this would be a good game if Oklahoma State was better.
The top, I'm going to hop into the other game quick on Friday night before we move to Saturday. Illinois-Nebraska. I'm spot chasing with Illinois. I think coming off the blowout against Purdue, I think it's a good spot to take Illinois at home. Nebraska's really bad. Matt Rule's the guy. I love Matt Rule. I said that all of the preseason, but he doesn't have his guys in yet. He doesn't have his team set up. You couldn't expect that much success this season. Illinois laying a field goal in this game at home. I think it's going to be very, very low scoring, but I would take the home team. I would lean home team here coming off their blowout loss.
I actually had no idea that the Purdue game was 44-19. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on the other side here. I actually think that Illinois could be like the worst team in the Big Ten this year. And I think that Nebraska, obviously, not very good themselves. But, you know, I don't know if based off of how the games went last year or last week, you know, you had that blowout for Illinois. And then you also had Nebraska, who was – it was a Rutgers 2019-type game against Michigan for them. They were bad. It's just the way it goes. I do think, though, if that's a little bit closer, you could have seen maybe this game be a pick 'em. I don't think that Illinois is like 3.5 points better. I don't think that either team deserves to be favored in this game. I just think that Nebraska, prior to last week, was like leading the Big Ten in sacks. That doesn't mean a lot, but with Illinois' quarterback just not playing great at Lyre or something like that, I just think this could be a game that Nebraska wins. Again, like they almost beat Minnesota. They were in that game. They weren't in again. They were in the first half against Colorado. They obviously beat Northern Illinois. They take care of Louisiana Tech, but then they just come back to reality with Michigan. So I don't know which way it can go, because I was thinking this game there could be some points scored. But then again I don't really know. But they're not good teams. They're just not good teams. But I feel like that always happens on these like not Saturday night games. So. Important for the Big Ten, though. Neither of these teams, Rutgers, will play, but I always like watching the Big Ten play. This could be one of those games where someone's posting on Twitter the play-by-play where it's just punt, punt, missed field goal, punt, blocked kick, or something like that. That could be this type of game.
Going into Saturday, there's some big games to talk about. Not the best slate, but a decent slate. There are some good games, and it starts at 12 o'clock. LSU-Missouri is an interesting game. You have 5-0 Missouri into the rankings. Going up against an LSU team that struggled, they're getting 4 points at home. That game has my brain in a pretzel because I don't know what to expect of Missouri. I don't know what to expect of LSU. They're a 4-point favorite on the road. The total's high. I have no idea what to think of that game, but it's a big game, so we got to touch on it. I would take the over. I think LSU can score. I don't think their defense has been that good, and I don't trust Missouri enough yet to take the 4 points at home. Now, that my opinion could change tomorrow at 11:45 when I'm betting on Missouri, but as we sit here right now, I don't trust them enough.
Yeah, and it seems like LSU just has – I don't think LSU should be ranked either. I think they're a two-loss team. It's just the SEC bias still. How is LSU ranked? How are there two ranked teams ranked ahead of Maryland? Like, that's crazy. We'll talk about that game in a second, but LSU just has a lot of issues. I feel like their secondary is really down. Like, they were relying on Deuce Chestnut, who is a Syracuse transfer from New Jersey. He's not with the program anymore. They have another guy that I think they just got diagnosed with, like, a rare bone cancer. So, tough situations going down there in Baton Rouge. And Brian Kelly, man, I mean, he got to get this. I mean, obviously, he's going to probably end up with the winning record, which is something Rutgers fans would sign up for in a heartbeat. But he needs to figure this stuff out fast, because it's getting bad for them. I guess I can't say that because they did play in the SEC championship game last year. But, yeah, this could be over for sure. 64.5 is high. And the SEC is quickly turning into what the Big 12 used to be. Like, awesome offense, no defense. And these scores are getting outrageous. And so maybe the narrative's changing, where the SEC is not good at defense anymore. I guess obviously that's not the case, but that's a big over, 64.5.
Moving on to the other big game in the Big 12, Texas-Oklahoma, the two teams that are going to the SEC. I think Oklahoma's going with Texas to the SEC next year. Texas, 5.5-point favorite at home, number 3 team in the country, 61 on the over. I know a lot of people will be on that just off principle alone. I think Oklahoma's getting a lot of attention here. I'm not hopping off Texas. I think the Texas 5.5 would be the way to go here. I'm not ready to buy into the hype of Oklahoma. They haven't looked great. They're undefeated, obviously, number 12 in the country, but they haven't looked great, and I think that it's too trendy of a pick right now. I would go against the public in this game and take Texas with the points.
What was it last year that Texas beat them 55-0? I think I don't know if it was last year or not, but in any case, I agree. I think Oklahoma's getting – maybe this is where I'm just wrong, but the fact that Texas is getting – or is giving less than a touchdown makes me think that this is – I definitely like Texas here. I'm not really all in on Oklahoma. I think that Quinn Ewers is a great – I just think that Texas is better at every level. I think Steve Sarkisian is doing a really good job this year. And I always forget his name. Brent Venables.
Oh, like, Oklahoma, yeah, Brent Venables.
He needs this game. He needs this game more than Texas. Obviously, Texas – if I don't think either of the – like, I saw this one stat where it's like the winner of this game is going to be playing in the college football playoffs. Like, that's not true, because – they're probably going to end up playing each other again in the Big 12 championship. My point is, I think only one of these teams is capable and has the talent capable of playing in the college football playoffs, and that's Texas. They have the quarterback. They have the wide receiver. They have the running backs. They have the guys up front. Their defense is playing great. They beat Alabama on the road. Like, how is Oklahoma getting all the talk here? And I'm sure Texas is, but if you listen to any podcast, any news site, everyone's talking Oklahoma. I just don't think that's correct.
I think that this has major Alabama-Texas vibes, as where Alabama went on the road, needed that signature victory. Oklahoma is in that same position. They need to go on the road and get that signature victory. I don't think it happens here. And again, we could come on Monday and sound as stupid as we want, you know, with Oklahoma going, winning this game by double digits or competing, whatever you want. Another team that needs a signature victory is Maryland. And this will be the last noon game that we touch on before Rutgers and then going into the rest of the night. Maryland needs a signature victory, and I like the Maryland team. I know we're a Rutgers podcast. Fans aren't going to like to hear that, but if you've listened, you know I'm a Loxley fan. You know I'm a Maryland fan. They're a tough team. They're athletic. They're quick. Are they ready to take that next step? They're a 3-touchdown underdog at Ohio State. I don't think they're there just yet. I don't think they're going to win the game, but call me crazy. I see this number at 20 right now. I would consider taking the 20 points with Maryland. That seems a little high.
Yeah, I think the difference between this game and previous, like, there's always been times. Maybe when was it? I think JT Barrett was still a quarterback, but there was a game where Maryland might have went to overtime with Ohio State, and they end up losing because they went for 2 instead of 1 to try to win the game, and I think the difference between this game and previous games is Ohio State's defense is definitely good this year. They showed it against Notre Dame, and they're coming off of a bye. Maryland, I think, is a good team. There's no doubt about it. They should be ranked. And Tyliah Tagovailoa should be up. I guess he just has he's a little bit more volatile, but he has all of the skill that the top guys in the Big Ten do. He might even be more athletic than any of the top 3 guys. I think he's definitely more athletic than Drew Aller and Kyle McCord, and he's got an arm. He can sling it. They have a good skilled group of skilled position players.
Yeah, I'm nervous of him turning the ball over. That was my only hesitancy.
That's his problem. In games like this, this is where he throws. Like, he had that chance like last year. It might have been at home against Iowa. He threw like four or five interceptions, and they were done before halftime. That could be this game, because Ohio State is their toughest opponent they might play all year, definitely so far. It's on the road in Columbus. Wouldn't want to be Maryland in this situation. I definitely was a little surprised with the line being almost 20 points, but it's you think about it, and it's not crazy. Like, it's Ohio State can win this game 24-3, like they could, or 24-7, something like that. They have the ability to score in three plays, but they just haven't done it yet. And I don't know if they need to. Like, all that matters is winning games. That's Ohio, and I think that's the difference here. Ohio State isn't necessarily focused on covering spreads like some other teams might be. Wink, wink. Right. Rutgers, possibly.
Penn State.
Yes.
They did it again against Northwestern.
Yes, they did. That was another weird one.
Yeah.
But regardless, I just think that this will be – I hope Maryland plays well, because I'm hoping that the end of the year, that game, Rutgers-Maryland, is going to be two good teams playing each other. So we're going to need them to compete in this one, if that's going to be the case. Now, they have plenty of opportunities to continue to win games, but they're 5-0, and they look like a 5-0 team.
Yeah, that's another game that somebody's going to have to talk me out of by the time that kicks off, because, like I said, Maryland getting the 20 seems like a pick for me. We move down the list to Texas A&M hosting Alabama. That game's a pick 'em right now. Total at 46. A&M, again, another team getting a lot of love. And this fits into my personal strategy. You know, you take a team like that when the spread is there against a ranked opponent, especially like in Alabama. Can Texas A&M win this game? I mean, the spread says they can. They're another team waiting for a signature victory. It could come on Saturday against an Alabama team who, you know, looks like they're starting to hit their stride a little bit.
Yeah, and again, without their starting quarterback, Texas A&M still, it's yes, this isn't the same Alabama team that we've seen in previous years, but I don't think Jalen Milroe is a bad quarterback. Like, I don't think he's bad. I think he's got great – he's the right quarterback for the team. They made a poor decision to not play him against USF. It cost them just because they should have – that should have been a 13-10 game. They scored a garbage touchdown at the end of the game, which is crazy. That's just an insane thing to think. But I think this is more about it being on the road than anything, because Kyle Field is just a tough place to play, and it is a great environment. It's a bit of a cult, but it's a great environment. Again, also seeing Alabama outside the top 10, also strange. This is going to be a good game to watch. I'm excited for it. Texas A&M, their only loss is against Miami, who is also a very good team. We'll see what happens. I think Alabama wins this game. I think that even though Texas A&M has all of that talent, they never put it on the field. And I just think Nick Saban is not going to lose to Jimbo Fisher in this type of moment. Jimbo Fisher has just been trending so down for so long. And Nick Saban, he has one loss against a good Texas team, and it's like he's done. Nick Saban's dynasty's over. The dynasty might be over, but like, it was going to happen at some point. Still a very good head coach, and I think a better head coach than Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, you can't stay at the top forever. I mean, they were at the top for over a decade. It's just, this is how it happens in college football. Looking at later into the night, Notre Dame on the road for the second straight season. They were at Duke last week, right? That game, the game day was there, I believe. Going on the road again to Louisville, 6.5-point favorite. I like Louisville in this game. I like the home game. I think Jeff Brohm's looking for that, again, signature victory. That seems to be the trend of this week. I've said it a million times. A lot of teams right here are looking for that victory, and I think that's a big factor in the locker room. You know, you have Notre Dame coming in, a first-year head coach back at his alma mater. This is a big spot for Louisville. I'm not going to take their money line. I'll take the 6.5, and I'm also continuing to fade Notre Dame. And this is also an anger pick, because if anybody had Duke last week like I did, you're not thrilled with the way that game ended. So
I need to end that way. They could have covered.
Exactly. I need redemption, so I'm going to take Louisville, trying to get my redemption from last week.
Yeah, I think this is a game where everybody said before the year Louisville could be, what are they, 5-0 right now, 6-0, whatever they are
so far. Yeah,
it's because your schedule is not good. It's not, and it hasn't been good. And they did struggle a little bit though against North Carolina State. Like, they didn't play too great. They couldn't run the ball. What's the line here?
6.5. I see.
Yeah, we'll see. I do think Notre Dame's still really good, but they struggled. They struggled against Duke. There's no question about that. It stinks because I wanted Notre Dame to be, you know, within that top five, and they're just I don't think that's going to happen this year, especially since they have to play USC, I believe. But I think it's at home. So we'll see. I mean, there could be some scoring in this game, but this is definitely the best team Louisville will probably play possibly all year if they don't play Florida State. So should be a good one to watch. There's some good matchups this week. Is Louisville ranked?
Louisville is ranked. I think they just hopped in at 25. I
mean, Maryland should be there over them, in my opinion. I don't like that, but I digress.
There's just there is a bias. There's a, you know, when you get coaches, certain coaches, you know, Jeff Brohm over Mike Locksley. So there could be some there. They rank a lot of storylines too, in my opinion. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's the college football we know, and it's the college football we love. Touching on a few other things, just, you know, quickly here. Those look like the main games of the weekend. Touching on a couple other ones.
Kentucky, Georgia, probably a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. It could be lopsided. I think this is a week Georgia kind of, you know, steps on their opponent's throats. They're another team. They've been unimpressive, and that sounds kind of weird to say for the number one team in the country who won two straight national titles. But
yep.
I think it's pretty fair that they have been a bit unimpressive. It's 14.5 right now. I think that I would like that at 14, you know, get rid of that hook. But ultimately, I think it's over. I think they could win this game by 20. And another game I was looking at is, it's not a great game, but how far Baylor has fallen. I mean, they're hosting Texas Tech, and they're getting 2 points at home. Like, that team has fallen, and they're down really, really bad this year.
Yeah, it's not really – the Big 12 just isn't – I'm just not interested. Besides Texas, like, I'm
not what it was.
I always like watching Kansas, but like you said, when they lost Jalen Daniels, like, that's their guy. Nothing against the guys on the team, but, like, I think they lose that game against Texas, but he's the guy for them. And when he's not playing, the team's not the same. So we'll see what happens there.
I don't think he's playing again this week. So that's something to, monitor. And that's something I missed last week, or else I wouldn't have taken that over. But regardless, I think he's out again this week. For anybody looking to bet that Kansas game, they're getting two at home. And the main reason is because, you know, they're without their quarterback. Any final games you want to touch on before we get into our picks? I think those were the main matchups. We seem to hit
I'm always going to shout them out because of my fiance. But Virginia Tech played really great against Pitt on Saturday in Blacksburg. Now they do play the number 5 team in the country, Florida State, in Tallahassee. That's tough. However, I just think that if the Hokies can find a way to establish something on offense, it could be they could get within that line. I'm not going to pick that as a pick of mine, but it could be a turning point for that program. Florida State has shown weakness. Boston College, most importantly. Now, that game was on the road, but still, you know, is Florida State coming off of a bye? Or no, I think they had a game last week. Either way, I think that line is appropriate, but I just want to see Virginia Tech be competitive. And then Syracuse, North Carolina should be another good one. But at least we can silence the, oh, Syracuse, can we start talking about them? Like, no, they got beat. They got handled. It's done with. But should be a good one. So two ACC games. I usually don't shout out the ACC, but wanted to do that there. And I think – oh, another one, Ole Miss or Arkansas on the road at Ole Miss. I think I might target that game as a pick. Clearly, again, another example of not a lot of defense being played in the big SEC. So we'll look at that one once we get to our picks.
Quick mention of Pitt football by you there from last week playing Virginia Tech. Did we see Phil Jurkovec making the move to tight end? I know we're an anti-Phil Jurkovec podcast, so
If you told NFL scouts that 3 years ago, they'd tell you you're crazy because he's going to be a first-round pick. So – oh, how the great have fallen.
Yeah, I think that move is about 2 years too late, in my opinion. But they finally made the switch there if you're Pitt. I mean, it's about time.
Yep.
Looking at our picks, let's see where we're going to land here. I think my first one's going to be that Texas game. Again, I could come on here and they can lose this game. They could win on a last-second field goal. Oklahoma might hang around. I think this could be a double-digit game. It's 5.5. Again, I might be naive for some reason, but or a square pick, but I don't think it's a square pick because the public's on Oklahoma. So give me Texas 5.5 at home. They continue to roll.
And I'm not doing this because you're hot, but I do like that as well. I think that that's one of my picks as well. I'm sorry for the listeners that you're not getting diverse here, but this is a game I'm definitely going to be betting myself. And I hate that it's a noon kickoff. I feel like it's always a noon kickoff, but it would be cool to see this game more in a primetime setting. I'm sure it's going to be the big noon kickoff game with Gus and Joel Klatt on the call. But you're seeing 5.5?
5.5, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on that as well with Texas.
A game that we didn't talk about, I'm going to take, is UCLA at home, -3 over Washington State. That's another principal pick for me. I have two rules. It's when you see crazy unders, you take them in the 30s, and when you see an unranked team favored over a ranked team. Again, I try not to know more than Vegas, so I'm going to take Chip Kelly. I'll take the Bruins at home. Hopefully that offense gets going a bit because they're going to need to score to beat Washington State. So, but at this point, 3-point favorite, I'll take it.
And I mentioned this earlier, going, this is going to be a Friday game, so make sure you listen to this today, Friday, 10-6. I am going to go with Nebraska +3.5 here for a number of reasons. I think it's going to be low scoring, but I do think Nebraska just has some better pieces than Illinois. And we talked very highly of, what is Illinois' head coach's name?
Brett Bielema.
We've talked very highly of him, and they're not playing Brett Bielema football, and that might be because they lost a lot of great guys to the draft. I think Sidney Brown on the Eagles, and then you have Devin Witherspoon on the Seahawks, who had an incredible game against the Giants. Like, they lost some great pieces on defense, but it's really the offense that I think is going to be the problem there. So Nebraska, I think they found their quarterback, but are going with a different guy, Hornberg or something like that. So I'm going to take the 3.5 there for Nebraska, on the road in Champaign, Illinois tonight.
We touched on the LSU Missouri game, and I'm not ready to take Missouri, but I'm ready to see him score some points. I said I would lean in that over, and that's going to be one of mine as well. Over 65 in that game.
Okay. My next pick. Do I want to do it? I don't know if I want to do it just yet. So I'm going to consider something else real quickly. I'm going to go with the over of the Arkansas-Mississippi game, 62.5. I think that Arkansas could possibly win this game, but that's not going to come without scoring some points. And Mississippi definitely has the ability to score it. It's a big over. I'm not feeling too confident about it, but I think that one can have some points scored. And I did slander the SEC defense, so I'm going to double down on that right now.
I'm going to have any listeners put an asterisk next to that Florida State game. I think they blow the doors off Virginia Tech. But for respect for friends of the podcast, I'm not going to put that on my pick.
You go. You're hot. You don't listen to me.
I think that's going to be a lopsided game. I need you to get me the USC team total. You know, that's one that I like to look at. But until then, I'm going to take Louisville. That's another game I might be a square for taking that game, thinking that Louisville is going to contend in this game or even win the game. Give me Louisville getting the 6.5 at home. Statement game for Jeff Brohm.
What did you said you wanted USC's team total over?
Yeah. Do you see a number for that one yet?
I do. What do you think it is?
They're 22-point favorites. The over-under 71.5. Jeez.
Oh.
That's just based off that number alone, USC's got to be around 48.
47.5. Yeah. They need to score 48. So that's your number. Now, this is all I'll say. For the Pac-12, I love Washington. They're on a bye this week, I'm pretty sure. They didn't score many points against Arizona. So just use that as you will. I think, obviously, USC's offense is great in its own right, but just keep that in mind. I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Army -2. Against Boston College. Just maybe it's a hate pick against Boston College, but I just think that Army against any team can go up like 14-0 and just play. Then they just run the ball and it's really tough to catch up from there. And it's salute the troops. I respect the troops. I'm going with the troops.
My last pick, we got one more before we talk about that Rutgers game and make a selection in that Rutgers game. I have the asterisk next to the Seminoles. Like I said, I think they blow them out. But we're going to go a different way here, and I'm stalling a bit. I also touched on that Maryland game. I'm not ready to throw them in yet, even though I think they could contend. But at the end of the day, we don't know about that. So my final pick is going to be, as we scroll through a bunch of the games here, as you can tell, we do a lot of this on the cusp. We don't know. Yeah. Once you look at the slate, everything just changes in your mind. I am going to end it with, I hate to do it, but I'm going to end it with the A&M pick'em, the Texas A&M money line at home. Again, I hate that because I'm usually an Alabama guy. I'm an Alabama believer. I'm a Nick Saban believer. You made a bunch of good points about Bama against Jimbo Fisher, but the number speaks to me there. That field is going to be rocking. I think they need a victory, and this is the one they could get. Again, this is one I don't love. I think I'm going to come in on Monday, and Bama's going to win this game by 3 touchdowns, but I'll take a shot with A&M.
Yeah. This could be wrong, but I don't – this is how I look at it. Iowa's offense was bad with their quarterback that they brought in from the beginning, Cade McNamara. He's done for the year, I'm pretty sure. I don't know who their backup is. Their offense was bad with Cade McNamara. Can't imagine it gets better with this guy. Purdue, +1.5 on the road in Iowa. Just going with that. I'm riding with it. 3:30 game. Hudson Carr shows that he's still a capable quarterback. So Purdue +1.5 on the road in Iowa.
Going to the Rutgers game. Wisconsin -13 in this game. Over-under set at 44. This contradicts kind of everything I've been saying about this game and what I'm nervous about, but I'm going to take that over at 44. And the reason is I think Rutgers should be able to score, say, 14 points. I think they have to score 2 touchdowns in this game if they want to compete in any capacity, minimum of 14 points. Wisconsin, if they get the ground game going, they could get comfortable. Tanner Mordecai running the ball a little bit, but if Rutgers scores at least 14, maybe Jay Patella has a field goal in there, I think this game has a chance to go over. I'm just not ready to take Rutgers getting 13 yet in this matchup. Again, I could be thinking about history, but I'm not ready to do it on the road. So give me the over.
Yeah, just to review the lines here, Rutgers 13-point underdog, money line +370. Very interesting. I'm also looking just first half, they're getting 7 points, over under 23. I just don't know. I really don't. I'm going to just go with the 13 points. So give me the 13 points for Rutgers. I think that Wisconsin is going to – I don't think they run this type of slow, methodical, eat-away-at-you offense. So I think that they're going to find themselves in a couple of three-and-out situations or possible turnovers. I just think that they're going to not control the clock, and that's where they're going to find success against Rutgers. So I'm going to just take the 13 points. I think Rutgers can find themselves – on the plus side of the 50 and hopefully get some points on the board. And, you give me a quick 3-0 score and we're right there. We're at a 2-score game. So I will take the 13 there for Rutgers. And so far they are 4-0-1 against the spread. So let's keep it going.
There you have it. Our 5 picks plus Rutgers. I don't love really anything I took this week. So hopefully this isn't my week to go downhill and start a bad trend. But those are our picks. And again, Rutgers fans, noon kickoff, download Peacock, sign up for it, whatever you have to do. I don't even know what you have to do for it. Do whatever you have to do to watch this game because you don't want to miss what could be a signature victory for Rutgers, one of the better wins since joining the Big Ten, realistically. Or, maybe they just compete and we're happy about that on Monday, depending on how this game played out. So, Matt, any final thoughts?
I almost had to put a post out on the Banks just talking about how I really think this is one of the most pivotal or most important games of Greg Schiano's second stint here at Rutgers because, I think I was a little foolish to think that Michigan was a game where they could win. But I do think that this is a game where Rutgers in previous years, it's at least 24-point spread. So it's good that it's not Vegas. I'm not going to say is respecting Rutgers here, but they need to show out here. They need to go if they can get a huge Big Ten road win. And I think the most competitive one since they joined the conference was they won all those games on the road in 2020, Michigan State, Purdue, Maryland. But that was during a COVID year. Madison is a great place. Camp Randall is an awesome away team's stadium. If Rutgers can find a way to win this game, I think Greg Schiano is going to – being 5-1 is truly a dream. It's just crazy. I don't know if any of the teams I've root for in past years have been 5-1 at any point. Even Rutgers basketball, I don't think it's been maybe 5-1. But in any case, they have. They've been like 6-0 or whatever. But in any case, this could be a pivotal win for Rutgers. And then you're at home against Michigan State. Everything lines up great for Rutgers to really make a great step forward and continue to grow. And hopefully things start treading in their way while other teams are just full of turmoil in the Big Ten. So keep chopping, and let's get this win in Madison this weekend.
Well said. Absolutely. To fans out there everywhere, enjoy the game. Check back in with us on Monday to preview all of the action. Recap all of the action, excuse me. It's going to be a long weekend. It's already starting here.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.